You're listening to Messages of Grace, a podcast of Grace Baptist Church, Kelowna. At Grace, we believe that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We trust this message will be a blessing to your life today.
Well, good morning. Good morning, church family. It is good to be together this morning. Well, this morning we are continuing in our summer series, A Promise-Driven Life, looking at the promises of God in His Word to us and understanding how they make a practical difference in our lives if we would look to them, if we would hold on to them, if we would remind ourselves of them. And so I'll invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1. And if you are without a Bible this morning, you should be able to find a black Bible in the shelf in front of you. And in that pew Bible, we are on page 909. Acts chapter 1. Well, two brothers were preparing to get ready to boil some eggs. And the older brother said to the younger one, "If you give me a dollar, or if you allow me to break three eggs over your head, I'll give you a dollar," said the older brother to the younger one. And the younger brother replied, "Promise." "Promise," the older brother said. "I'll give you a dollar if you let me break three eggs over your head." And so gleefully, the older boy broke two eggs over his brother's head. And now this younger brother's standing there, stiff, not wanting to get this gooey mess all over his clothes. And he asks, "When is that third egg coming?" And his brother says, "It's not. That would cost me a dollar." You know, promises are funny things, aren't they? They're easy to make, and yet they're easier to break. And so often we find ourselves trying to work ourselves out of a promise that we've made, don't we? Maybe you can recall in your own life times where you've been disappointed by a promise. Maybe from a friend or a family member, maybe a coworker or a boss, and you were greatly disappointed, let down by a promise that was made to you. Well, I need to remind you this morning that God's promises are not like our promises. God's promises will never leave us disappointed. They'll never let us down. The promises of God are sure and trustworthy because that's His very character. God cannot lie. If He makes a promise to us in His Word, it is sure. It is trustworthy. The promises of God are never too good to be true. They'll never leave us disappointed. And you know, the Lord makes some truly remarkable promises to us in His Word that seem too good to be true. He makes incredible promises to us, promises to be with us always, promises of new life in Him, promises for the future and for eternity, as we've looked at the last number of weeks together. These promises are remarkable, and they reflect the character and goodness and power of God. But do these promises drive your life? Is your life driven by the promises of God? Is your life steered and directed by God's Word, what He has promised to you? Or do you find your life to be rooted in your circumstances? In what you see, in what you feel. The promises of God maybe slip into the background of our minds and our circumstances boil to the surface. Well, that's what this series is all about this summer. As we look into God's Word together, we want to look at the promises of God and how they drive our lives, how they readjust and recalibrate the way that we live, the way that we think. The promise-driven life is one of confidence. Confidence in the work of Jesus. Confident in your identity in Jesus. Confident in your purpose in Jesus. And so it's so important for us to remind ourselves of the promises of God. Well, we have an incredible promise to look at today as we look into Acts chapter 1. You see that we are given the promise of the Holy Spirit. An incredible promise for us this morning. We're going to read the first 8 verses of chapter 1 together. Starting in verse 1, let me get my Bible out, and let's read. "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while they were staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why don't we come to the Lord in prayer, asking him that he would open our eyes and our minds to see his truth in his word this morning. Let's bow in a prayer. Lord, we do ask that you would open our eyes to see today the amazing promises of your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our midst, that you would encourage, that you would give understanding, that you would also convict, that you would change our hearts to be more like you. Speak to us, we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are looking at the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, before he returned to heaven after his death and resurrection, he instructed his disciples that they would receive this promise of the Holy Spirit. Twice in these verses, Jesus says, you will. In verse 5, he says, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And in verse 8, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, if we were to jump ahead to chapter 2, we would see that this promise comes to be fulfilled. What Jesus said is true. The Holy Spirit does come upon and to dwell in the disciples. Now, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit came? Maybe we need to start there for a minute. Was he not already there? Was he not already actively at work? The coming of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts was not the beginning of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the creation of the Holy Spirit. If we look into the Old Testament, we could see that the Holy Spirit was there all along. At the beginning of our Bibles in Genesis 1-2, we see that the Holy Spirit was there before the creation of the world. Or we can read of Old Testament individuals who experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. In Judges chapter 6:34, we read that the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon in Judges 6:34. Or consider King David when he was anointed. In 1 Samuel 16, it says that the Spirit of God rushed upon him. What about the birth of Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit? What about the baptism of Jesus? The Holy Spirit comes down as a dove. And so what is incredible about this promise? What is prominent here about the coming of the Holy Spirit if he's already been at work? Well, something new and remarkable is taking place in this promise in Acts chapter 1. Something remarkable is taking place. The Holy Spirit would not simply come upon the disciples, but the Holy Spirit would dwell inside. The Holy Spirit would dwell, not temporary, as in the Old Testament, not come upon them temporary, but be permanent and dwelling inside of them. We just want to flip back to one Old Testament passage briefly this morning, Ezekiel chapter 36, which says, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. And so this was a promise from long ago, now renewed by Jesus. This was a promise given 600 years ago that one day the very Spirit of God would dwell in his people. And Jesus renews this promise and says, it's still going to come. And then in Acts chapter 2, this promise is fulfilled. Now, can we just stop for a moment? Because we can just, those words can go right over our heads. The Spirit of God dwelling in us. Wow, amazing. Hold on. That is incredible. That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing God, would dwell inside of you and me. God not only wants to dwell with us, but he wants to make our heart his home. How amazing is it that this all-powerful, all-knowing God would send his Spirit to dwell in you and me, to guide us, to lead us, to comfort us. This is a result of the good news of Jesus on the cross, what he accomplished on the cross. He forgave our sins and he gave us his righteousness and he made us a clean vessel now that the Holy Spirit can dwell inside. This is incredible, incredible news. Now, I do admit this morning that we don't have nearly enough time to understand all of the implications of this gift, this promise of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the list of benefits and blessings that come from the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is just unlimited. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives, Galatians 5:22. The Holy Spirit guides us, John 16:13. The Holy Spirit comforts us, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. The Holy Spirit bears witness to us that we are children of God, Romans 8:16. The list goes on. We could spend all morning discussing the long list of blessings and benefits from the Holy Spirit. But this morning, for today, I want us to see that this incredible promise is given for an incredible purpose. That's the title of my message this morning, an incredible promise for an incredible purpose. Look again with me at verse 8 in Acts chapter 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit was promised to us so that we could be faithful witnesses, a promise for a purpose. We see a similar language in Luke 24 and in Matthew 28. In both accounts, Jesus is giving this final instruction to his disciples to go and give witness, along with this promise of the Holy Spirit that will be with them always. Do you consider yourself a witness for Jesus? Are you a witness for Jesus? Have you ever shared your faith with someone? Is being a witness for Jesus high on your priority list? Is it a part of your regular routine to go and to give witness of Jesus? This is not a command that we can ignore or skip over. We have been given this incredible command, but we've also been given an incredible promise, a promise for a purpose, to go and be his witnesses. And so this morning, I want us to see that through the promise of the Holy Spirit, you can be a faithful witness. No matter what stage of life you're in, no matter your age, no matter your education, no matter your job, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have been given this promise of the Holy Spirit, this promise for the purpose to witness, to give witness of the gospel of Jesus. And so I want to show you three ways in which the Holy Spirit does this in our lives today. Three ways in which the promise of the Holy Spirit impacts and affects our witness, causes us to be a faithful witness. Number one, enabled to witness. The promise of the Holy Spirit enables us to be a witness. Look with me into Acts chapter 2. We're going to read the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together, that's Jesus' disciples, in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Well, the moment the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, it enabled them to witness in an extraordinary way. We read that they began to speak in tongues, and the crowds that came and surrounded were able to hear and understand in their own language. Why tongues? Why the speaking of tongues? Well, as we've seen already, the command to go and witness goes hand in hand with the giving of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit came in this way at this time as a sign to show that the gospel was for every tribe and tongue and nation. Common men now enabled to do the extraordinary. In the same way, the Holy Spirit enables us, ordinary people, enables us to bring an extraordinary message, the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. It is only through the enabling of the Holy Spirit that we can bear such a message and to witness. First, the Spirit enables our talk. We may not have the words to say or feel qualified to share our faith. I've been there. And unfortunately, that can stop us from even sharing. Oh, I don't know what I'd say. I better not even say anything. No, the Spirit enables our talk. We read in Luke chapter 12:12, God says in his word, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." The Holy Spirit will give us the words. He will guide us. He will enable us to speak of this life-changing message of the gospel. Have you experienced that before? Where God has given you the words in the moment, and you don't really know where that came from? A number of years ago, Danae and I went out for brunch one Saturday morning. We went to this cafe that we had actually never heard of. We were just given a gift card, and we kind of found it in the morning one day and thought, oh, let's go try out this cafe. And so we went, and it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment decision, and you know, this was before kids, so we were a little bit more agile to just go and do something. But we sat down, we started enjoying our brunch, and then the lady at the table next to us just kind of struck up a conversation. And so quickly, it turned to the topic of faith. And she began to ask these questions about Christianity. Now, I admit, I wasn't ready on a Saturday morning, having brunch, to start giving this coherent answer of why a death on the cross would forgive the sins of all who would turn in faith to Jesus. But the questions began to get deeper. And you know, I reflect on that occasion, and I see that God directed us to a place we'd never been at such a specific time to run into this lady and also give us the words to say. And it wasn't from us. It was the Holy Spirit who enabled us, who gave us the words to witness if we would just be willing. The Spirit enables our talk. Second, the Spirit enables our walk. To give a witness extends beyond our mouths. And so the Holy Spirit actually bears fruit in our lives and causes us to obey. Remember those verses we read in Ezekiel chapter 36? "And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." It's through the help of the Holy Spirit that he enables us to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. He enables us to put to death the sin in our lives that is necessary to be a faithful witness. He enables us to live in such a way that people look to us and see something remarkable. You know, just as these witnesses back in Acts chapter 2, they kind of came to this place where the disciples were because something was happening, and they looked in and saw something remarkable. In the same way, our neighbors should look into our lives and see something remarkable, see something extraordinary and supernatural. Not us, but the Spirit working and living in us. And thirdly, he enables in us a gift, a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit gives to each believer a gift used for the service and witness of the gospel. What is your spiritual gift? Is it teaching? Is it generosity? Is it acts of service? I believe it's important for us to identify this gift that we've been given that enables us to witness for Jesus. So do you feel capable this morning to be a witness for Jesus? Do you feel capable? Do you feel qualified? Well, despite how you may feel this morning, the Holy Spirit has enabled you. The Holy Spirit has enabled you. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And he has enabled you to be his witness. He enables the ordinary to do the extraordinary. It's said that the only difference between you and I living here at home in Canada and a foreign missionary living on the mission field is location, not identity. Every Christian is a missionary, enabled by the Holy Spirit to bear witness. We need to stop asking ourselves, am I capable? Am I qualified? And start asking, where can I serve and to whom can I witness? The Spirit has enabled you to witness. Number two, empowered to witness. The promise of the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. Let's look again in our text, now in verse 12 of chapter 2. We read, "And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words.'" Now, Peter's going to go on here to deliver a powerful message explaining what's taking place here. The pouring out of the Spirit of God, the completed work of Jesus for the remission of sin. He's going to quote Old Testament passages from the book of Joel and from Psalm 16. Really a clear example of the Holy Spirit giving him the words. And then we're going to jump to verse 32, near the end of Peter's message. Verse 32, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." What a bold message that Peter brings. You know, if this was our first interaction with this man, Peter, I'm sure we'd think, wow, what a bold man of God. But you know, we've seen this character Peter before, haven't we? We've seen this fisherman, Simon Peter, oftentimes demonstrating fear and doubt. Consider the time Jesus called him to walk on the water, and he so quickly took his eyes off Jesus and doubted and then began to sink. Or how could we forget when he denied Jesus three times, even to a little girl? So what has happened to Peter? That he would be the first person to jump up and to speak to the large crowds, including those who were mocking them. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. The giving of the Holy Spirit was a pouring out of power on the disciples, so that they could serve the Lord to accomplish his will. One writer puts it this way, "The ordinary people of God, equipped with the word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, can accomplish the mission of God." I got to read that again. Did you catch that? The ordinary people of God, equipped with the word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, can accomplish the mission of God. I recall in my younger years, my family would attend these gospel conferences on a yearly basis. And in one occasion, the speaker for that weekend was quite an elderly man. He was quite up there in years. He was quite frail. He walked slowly and spoke softly. But something remarkable would happen when he would come to the pulpit and he would open God's word. All of a sudden, there was this boldness and authority in his voice, this energy that wasn't seen anywhere else unless he was speaking from the Word of God. You see, the promise of the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness in a remarkable way. Not from us, but there's this power from the Holy Spirit that gives us this boldness. How could a group of common men ever hope to fulfill the Great Commission? God promised to provide the power. How could we, ordinary people, ever hope to reach our friends or our neighbors or our city? God promises to provide the power if we would be willing to go. Witnessing is not something that we do for the Lord. It's something that the Lord does through us if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we go forth in the authority of his name, in the power of his Spirit, heralding the gospel of his Son. He enables and he empowers. And thirdly, lastly, effective to witness. He enables, he empowers, and he causes us to have an effective witness through his Holy Spirit. Picking up in our text in Acts 2, we're going to read from verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. What an effective witness Peter had. No, what an effective witness the Holy Spirit had through Peter. Just as the Spirit enables our witness and empowers our witness, so does he cause our witness to be effective. It says that when the people heard Peter's message, they were cut to the heart. That's not because Peter's words were extremely persuasive, or that there was musicians playing just the perfect mood of music in the background. So simply the Holy Spirit at work, cutting to the heart of men, of the hearers. But is this always the result? Is this always the result of giving a witness for Jesus? Sometimes the message of the gospel that we share is received and we see repentance and a turning to Jesus, and it's amazing. And in other occasions, the witness seems to fall on hard soil and is rejected. What do we make of that? Did we fail? Did the Holy Spirit not show up? We are not called to produce results. You and I are called to be a witness. The effectiveness does not come from us, but from the Holy Spirit working in and through us. The effectiveness is not measured upon our standards, even. We may never know the impact our witness might have on somebody. Whether they receive it or reject it, we are called to witness, and the Holy Spirit is the one who cuts to the heart. Unfortunately, we can be so easily discouraged when we don't see that response, when we don't see the immediate results. But I want to remind you this morning, the effectiveness of your witness is not from you. It's from the Holy Spirit, who's promised to you. He will cause you to have an effective witness. You may feel at times that your words are falling flat or that nothing you're saying is making any sense. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is applying those truths to the heart, working mightily through you, causing your witness to be effective. And the same goes for those occasions that we see a response. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not our words. It's his work cutting to the heart. So church, this morning, I hope that we can see that this promise is incredible. This promise of the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest promises of the Word of God. We see it fulfilled at Pentecost as the Holy Spirit came to the disciples. And it continues to be fulfilled each time a sinner trusts in Jesus and is born again. The Holy Spirit is given to them to live in them. And this promise of God is still available today. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, forgiven of their sin, made right before God, and then given the Holy Spirit to comfort, to guide, to bear fruit, to seal us for the day of Christ's return, and to equip us for the mission and purpose of God. This promise is incredible. But what will you do with it? Is it a promise that you hear today and then move on, carry on? Or will you hold on to it and allow it to drive your life, to impact your life? Will you recognize that it is not only an incredible promise, but it's given for an incredible purpose? Will you walk in the Spirit, seeking His filling in your life today, allowing Him to lead you and work powerfully through you? Will you step out in boldness, trusting that He has enabled you to be His messenger? Whether you feel qualified or not, He has enabled you. He will empower you to be bold. And by His power, He will cause you to be effective. Will you go? Will you go and be a witness in your workplace, at the beach, at the gym, at the grocery store? Would you be willing to be a witness? Or will you let this promise slip into the background and once again be preoccupied with your circumstances, your fears, your doubts, your questions? Am I really able? Will it really have an effect? I could tell you that the disciples did not lose sight of this promise. They gave everything they had for the witness of the gospel. They trusted the Holy Spirit to take their ordinary lives and do something extraordinary in and through them. They flipped the world upside down as they took this gospel message to the ends of the earth. Church, we have this same good news. The life-changing hope in Jesus. We have this same Spirit living in us. And we have this same message of the cross of Christ. We have the same command to go and be a witness of it. Our world is in dire need of this good news. God wants to use you to be His witnesses. And I believe that we're given this incredible promise for an incredible purpose. But where do we begin? Where do we start? If this promise is true, what do I do with that? How do I be a witness? Where do I start? Well, I want to close this morning and leave you with three simple steps to start being a witness today. There's three simple ways that you can start being a witness today. And through that, through your willingness, God will enable you and empower you and cause you to be effective. But three simple steps to start being a witness today. Number one, step one, ask. Start with prayer. Start every day with prayer. Asking the Lord to give you a heart for the lost. Asking the Lord to put someone in your life that you can share the gospel with even today. Imagine if you were to do that every day. I believe that if you ask God, He will provide. And so if you ask God, put someone in my life today. Give me an opportunity to witness your gospel. Step one, ask. Step two, anticipate. Anticipate that God will answer your prayer. If you pray and say, God, lead me to somebody I can share the gospel with, now watch. Anticipate that He will answer you. But how quickly can we just get so busy in what we need to do? I'm one of the worst people for that. I go to the grocery store, I have my list, and I'm in and I'm out, and I'm on a mission. How quickly can we just forget about what we even prayed that morning and not be watching for that opportunity that God's going to give us? So we ask, we anticipate that God's going to answer, we watch, we look, be ready. And then number three, step three, we act. Ask, anticipate, act. Trust that He has enabled you. Trust that He will empower you and that He will cause you to have an effective witness. Don't shy away when the opportunity comes. This might be the hardest one. How many times have we seen an opportunity to share the gospel and we just kind of shy away and step back? Act. Take the opportunity the Holy Spirit gives you to be a witness. Allow Him to use you. Trust in His power and see what He will do. Ask, anticipate, and act. Church, be His witness and see what He will do. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the promise of Your Holy Spirit, who is with us always to guide us, to comfort us, to work in and through us. And God, we confess that we oftentimes dismiss or overlook the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives. But God, today we ask for a fresh filling of your Spirit, that you would use us to be your witnesses in our neighborhood, in our city, and in our world. Lord, give us a heart for the lost. Give us opportunities to shine the light of your gospel. I pray that you would enable and empower Grace Baptist Church to be a soul-saving, truth-proclaiming, disciple-making, Christ-honoring church. Lord, you are mighty to save. And we are so blessed to not only be saved by your grace, but to be called to go and witness of your grace. Use us, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with him, simply contact our church office by email at office@gracekelowna.com or by calling our church office at 250-763-3457.